Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every week at this time, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also handles the Predators pregame and postgame duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, Roby. How are we doing?
Doing wonderful. Hope you had a good time out on vacation. Looked nice.
It's nice to be in the Smokies.
It is nice to be in the Smokies. There's no doubt about that. So, Darren, your thoughts on the Titans yesterday? It wasn't pretty, but they get it done once again. They've won six in a row. First time they've won six in a row since 2008 when they started 10-0. And they get it done yesterday against a stingy front in the New Orleans Saints. Your reaction to the Titans win yesterday to improve to 8-2?
I do get a chuckle out of that because I know what you're saying, and a lot of people have said that, but I do laugh when people say it wasn't pretty. Like, I mean, in the NFL, I thought Ryan Tannehill said it best. I mean, don't you just take it however you can get it in the NFL? Like, they're all not going to be a beauty contest. I mean, it's all not going to be easy. It's not all going to be runaways. It's not going to all be domination. Isn't this kind of the Tennessee Titans team that we expected? Like, I took the Titans in pick six, but I was like, you know, last week I didn't take them and they burned me. That's how it works, right? When you don't think is when they do. When you do think is when they don't. And this was like a prime example. I'm like, of course they should beat Trevor Siemian. Like the Saints, he stinks. He's awful. And they don't have Alvin Kamara. But their defense is really, really good. But still, it's Trevor Siemian. He's awful. Absolutely awful. A guy that is just happy to have a job. You're not going to lose to him, and you don't have your best weapon on offense. We know Michael Thomas, you know, I don't know if he'll ever suit up again for the Saints, but they're not very good on offense, but this is exactly what the Titans do. And I was like, I just know this is not going to be easy because this is how it works with the Titans. And sure enough, it wasn't easy. But look, this team just keeps churning out wins, and as we've seen in the NFL the last couple of weeks, it's not been easy for the big boys, has it? There was a whole lot of big boys that went down last week, and that theme continued, you know, yesterday. By the way, congratulations on your Packers. I keep trying to pump up the cheeseheads, and yet my co-host, Willie and Chase, in particular Willie, keep trying to deflate the Green Bay Packers and not want to give them any credit. And I keep getting told that their defense stinks, but yet the last 3 weeks they have beat up and shut out, basically annihilated, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson.
The disrespect from Willie Donick has been noted.
But the defense stinks. By the way, that's the first time Russell Wilson has ever been shut out in his career in the NFL. Seattle's never been shut out with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Yep.
And the Packers just shut them out. But their defense stinks. But I digress. Anyway, we can see you lose every week. I mean, it's perplexing when you look around. I thought yesterday was exactly it played out almost exactly, maybe a little bit hairier than I thought, but I knew it was not going to be easy. And that's typically how it works with the Titans.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I would say I did think things would be prettier when I thought that they would have, like, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown catching more than one pass on given weeks. But right now, as constructed, it's amazing. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday, Darren. Like, if you told someone, you know, like, here's the situation with your Titans. All these guys who are missing for the year, you lead the NFL by far in players who have participated. Right now, Julio Jones on IR, Derrick Henry has a broken bone in his foot. A.J. Brown had a catch on this particular day. And by the way, this team lost to the Jets. If you told a Titans fan that, like, in August, it's like, okay, so we're, like, heading for the number one pick overall, right? Like, it's just – but they have figured out a way, and they just seem to make these plays late in games. Does this remind you of any of these past teams? Because they keep coming up, right? When you go on a six-game winning streak, when you are the second team ever to win five in a row against previous year playoff teams – you hear the comparisons. This is, first six-game winning streak since 08.
Yep,
you hear comparisons to the great teams of Manhattan. Like, are there common elements you feel like with this team and those other previous great teams of the Titans?
Well, I hope this team isn't compared to the 08 team, because the 08 team went out in the first round and home to Baltimore. So
got the bye.
Yeah, got the bye and went out to Baltimore in the first round. So, yeah, I hope this team is not comparable to 08, even though I remember that team quite well. You know, it. By the way, that is a fun game, Joe. It is. You know, if we knew before the game, if we knew, because sports gambling is legal in this state and now has been for over a year, if I knew some of the things, especially in particular the last 2 weeks, the Rams game and the Saints game, these things were going to play out, I would be sitting here shirtless. I may not have a roof over my head, because I would have lost a whole lot of money. I mean, just think about if we were told before the game, like some point this weekend before noon kickoff on Sunday, A.J. Brown is going to be the leading rusher for the Titans against the Saints. Yeah, like leading rusher as in the longest run from scrimmage is going to come from A.J. Brown. And, oh, by the way, just to finish that off, he's going to have one catch on the day. Julio Jones isn't going to play, and as you said, Derrick Henry, we know, is not in the mix. I mean, if you start laying out how things are going to go, I'm so glad we're not equipped with that info, because I'd probably be divorced. I wouldn't have a home. I wouldn't have clothes on. I mean, I would just be losing my you-know-what every week, but yet they find a way to continue to get it done. Pedestrian numbers running the football since Derrick Henry. Pedestrian numbers offensively. You know, Marcus Johnson, great game for him, but is this how it's going to be? Like, who's next week's star? Or do you believe Marcus Johnson can actually do that? Can he follow that up? Because remember, there was a time, you know, 3 weeks ago, NWI. Oh, my gosh, he's the next guy. But it seems like everything is going to be by committee. I think when you get down to it, what's amazing about this team is they just keep churning out dubs. I mean, right, they just keep winning. And it's not sexy. It's not going to be sexy most of the time, but they just keep finding a way to win. Now, what they're doing on defense is sexy. That's a smoke show, right? That's the front cover of a magazine. Because I last week ran to the waiver wire and got successfully the Titans defense and was excited. And I sat back and I laughed out loud to myself. I at least amused myself going, who would have thought that, right? Like the last like 2 years in fantasy football, like I don't think they were ever even owned on a fantasy roster. And I ran to get them and was excited to get them. If you'd have told me that at the beginning of the year, the three of us would have been sitting around going, sure, yeah, that's a good pickup. Yeah. What are you doing, planning for next year in fantasy football? You're running to the waiver wire to pick up the Titans defense, and you're pumped when you get them? Yes, I was pumped to get them. So I just think this is going to be what it is. But to your question, Joe, to wrap this up, I think this whole thing that intrigues me is going back to, what was it now, 2 Mondays ago when we sat here, and the three of us agreed, like this team is still going to make the playoffs, and that we know that is going to that's played out. But it's now the question is, life without Derrick Henry, how far can this really go? Like that's what I really want to see in going back to the 08 reference. We certainly don't want to see that. I mean, they could have a bye. They could very easily have a bye. Is this team capable, with everything we've seen in the 2 weeks without Derrick Henry, Julio Jones not being a factor, A.J. Brown really hasn't been a factor, can they really do it when it matters? That's what I want to see happens. Because right now, this is fun to talk about, but we all know, the three of us know, they're going to the playoffs. They're going to be playing January football.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Darren, another big win against the hapless Arizona Coyotes, who,
boy, they're bad.
They may not win 10 games this year. They're pretty
they're
awful.
Bad.
But the Predators get it done. A 4-point night from Roman Josi. Matt Duchene continuing to score as well. I guess my question for you is, as they sit here 9-5-1, outside of Matt Duchene apparently turning into a 40-goal scorer, what has surprised you the most about this team so far this year?
That they're 1 point out of first sitting yep. here in the middle of November, because we all predicted that, right? Especially after the 1-4 start, especially without Philip Forsberg. Yeah, I mean, this. What surprised me is, we all know the narrative. We all know the storyline. We know what we all discussed in the offseason. The players, those two players, are fully aware of what was discussed. They're using that as motivation, and good for them. Players should use things, and they do use things for motivation, even though they tell you, a lot of them, that they don't, or coaches too. And by the way, however you get that motivation is fine by me, but Matt Duchene is playing out of his mind, right? I mean, he is playing absolutely out of his mind. Roman Josi continues. I mean, can he do this again? I say yes. I mean, why wouldn't he be? I mean, if you just watch him every night, I mean, is he not a finalist for the Norris? I mean, how could you not say that he is? At UC Soros continues to play well. Tanner Jeannot continues to take the right steps. But the key was, and we all knew this, right? You have to get production out of Duchene and Johansson, and they are. And they're getting – I mean, I don't think anybody could have ever – you say surprise. Who could have ever – if you would have said that, honestly, through – what is that now, 15 games? Yep. Is that what they've played? 15 games, Matt Duchene would lead the team in goals, and he would be approaching double-digit goals 15 games in. Like, honestly, what would your reaction be?
Just totally stunned would be my reaction.
There's a lot of, like, stuff that we never could have, you know, like with both of these teams, actually, when you
yes.
think about it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's fair.
As someone who, I mean, I have to admit, I didn't watch a lot of Matt Duchene for all those years of him playing with terrible teams when he was piling up numbers, but I'd like to know how this version of Matt Duchene in the first few weeks of the season compares to, like, the best he's played in this league. Obviously, we all saw how he played for Columbus in the playoff series before coming here, but this has got to be some of the best hockey he's played, right?
I don't think there's any doubt. It would be hard to dispute that, Joe. I guess the question I have for you guys is what's changed? I mean, I throw out motivation. Like, he knows what's being said. He knows. And look, the organization has told him, too, in the offseason. Both of them know they weren't protected. And in particular, Matt Duchene, who I think is a little bit more sensitive to what's being said about him than Ryan Johansson. Robbie, would you say that's a fair statement?
I'd say so.
Yeah. He doesn't want people saying the stuff that's been said in the offseason. He wants people praising him and loving him. Don't we all want that? But I guess the question is, what's changed? Why has it been so successful? Is it truly that? Like, it can't be just that. Is it, you know, the system? Is he finally caught on to the system? It works for him. Is it who he's playing with? I mean, Granlund seems like whoever is playing alongside Granlund tends to have success. But I ask you guys, so what's changed? Why does it look like this? Because nobody would have believed that. If we would have said Matt Duchene will have this 15 games in the season, you wouldn't get one person that would say, yeah, I believe that could happen. Not one, but yet it's happened. So why?
Well, the two things that stand out to me, number one, I do think that he is making the simple play now. Like, there was, and I think it was maybe the Rangers game this year, he got the puck right in the slot and just passed it off on the backhand, tried to make that perfect play. I think there's less of that this year. I think he's just going to the net, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. And number two, like, I do think there is something to the aspect that Vingan has brought up a few times, and that is he's bought into the way John Hines wants him to play. I think it's fair to say he was a little slower in the buy-in than maybe others were, and I think that's made a noticeable difference in his game this year. So to your point, Darren, it's not just the motivation. I do think that's part of it, but I think there's a couple different factors into it. Now, the question is, can he keep it up?
Well, that is the question. I think confidence is another part of this.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's on a heater, right?
Yeah.
What do you never do when you're on a heater, Joe? Ever. Don't get up from the table.
That's right.
Don't walk away.
Stay there, man.
You stay right there, man. You keep doubling down.
That's right.
You buy insurance. You do whatever's working. Okay? Don't get up and walk away, and Matt Duchene should not get up and walk away. He's confident. He's shooting. He's shooting the puck. He looks like he's oozing with confidence, and that is the question. How long can this last? Can he actually do this for an entire season? If so, I think we're going to be talking about a Predators team that yet again has proved everybody wrong is playing playoff hockey.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the Predators pregame and postgame duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, has been our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, appreciate you, brother. Looking forward to 10 o'clock coming up in just 45 minutes till showtime. Yeah. That's good at math by me there.
You are sharp.
Thank you.
You are on it. Thank you guys as always.
Appreciate you, Darren. Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Darren had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. for Floyd Reese, a true Titan, honoring the legacy of Floyd Reese as the Titans' former general manager as he gets inducted into the Ring of Honor at Nissan Stadium this Sunday. This special will feature some of the biggest names in franchise history who knew Floyd as well as anyone. And Friday's tribute to Floyd Reese brought to you by Neighbors in Nashville. Neighbors is the best sports entertainment bar in Nashville with locations in Germantown, Sylvan Park, and coming soon to Franklin as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside a battered and bruised Joe Rex Road here on the program. Joe, what's happened to you?
If you're watching the live stream, and why wouldn't you? Because sex sells, as we know, in the entertainment industry.
Right.
I took off my headphones and they snapped, like the rubber band snapped and smashed me in the nose, and it's bleeding pretty heavily. So my face is even more cheeks than normal right now on the live stream.
I didn't know that. I didn't know if Michelle was going to be able to contain herself in there.
I have this really bad trait where when people like mildly get hurt, I start to laugh. And, Joe, I just lost it.
Really?
Yes.
So you enjoy the misery of others. We're learning a lot about you today.
No, like if somebody jerks
a really good therapy session today on the program. Rex Rhodes never wrong about anything, and Michelle laughs at people's pain.
And Joe knows ZZ Top. Other than that, perfect Monday.
I wonder what what am I going to show people today about my just personal flaws.
I don't know. But
well, you got the skunk sitch.
Yeah, I mean, your house and clothing will smell like skunk for months to come.
Yes, it will. We're all in great shape.
You're actually handling things well, all things considered.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It is amazing, and, you know, I've used this phrase a couple of times today. Used it on Twitter yesterday, too, and people got, like, legitimately mad. Wasn't pretty for the Titans yesterday. But it doesn't matter. They won the game. I'm not saying, anything's wrong with that. They won the game.
Yeah,
good to be 8-2.
It's a two things can be true thing. I mean, I have no problem with someone. Again, I feel like power rankings are more taken note of these days than
apparently
ever before. But if you say this is the number one team, look at what they've done. Look at their achievement. I mean, 6 straight wins. 5 straight wins over teams that made the playoffs last year. The only other team to do that was the Eagles in 2003. That team actually lost to the Panthers in the NFC Championship game. That was the number one seed. 12-14. I mean, like, you have to be really good to do the things the Titans have done. Also, they're so banged up that they're kind of a shell of themselves, especially offensively. So it's as you project forward. What does this mean? Like Darren was just saying last segment, I mean, what does this mean in the playoffs? What does this mean? Chase is laughing at my banged up nose now, too. Thank you, Chase. You know, what does this mean week to week for this team? I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, yeah, 8-2, outstanding. Also, can they keep it up?
Yeah.
Can they keep winning?
It's a great question. Well,
can you look at me and speak without laughing?
No, okay. I cannot. Kathleena on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I love this show, but Joe Rex Road makes it hilarious. It's coming from Kathleena
on the text line. Are you talking about my appearance, Kathleena?
I don't know. I think just your being in general.
Yeah.
Joe's a funny guy.
If you can't laugh at yourself, especially if you're me, then really, what can you do?
I'm kind of worried about our good friend John Glennon, because here we are. It's 9:23 on a Monday morning. And I have yet to see any Pro Football Focus rankings.
What's going on here?
He did put some out there?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, man.
I don't see them.
Team ones, not individual players.
Oh, I don't need team ones. I need individual players.
Well, actually, I think Glennon, he's pretty recently started writing, you know, working with David Beauclair at SI.
Yeah.
I think he's now keeping that for a piece where he's and here's the number one player in the Pro Football Focus thing, and number two was click on the story.
Well, I'm interested to see Taylor Lewan and David Questenberry's rankings. So Bob from Mount Juliet, we can either get validation one way or the other on whether or not you're kissing their behind a little too much.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm looking forward to it too, for sure. I told Bob. What did I tell Bob? I sent Bob an all caps text.
That's when you know you mean business.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here you go, buddy. Watch out. Speaking of split cheeks, though, Dane from Nolensville, as soon as we said that, or sliced cheeks,
yeah,
he texted the synopsis for the movie Alive, which, if anybody knows, it's an awful story, but it's about cannibalism.
So, oh, good. Anyway, very good.
Let's go completely off the rails here. Thank you, Dane.
We're covering the whole ground here on the show.
Yeah.
Direct Road, your thoughts yesterday on Ryan Tannehill and his performance, obviously with no Julio Jones, Derrick Henry to speak of. And I don't know, what do we dub yesterday's game for Tannehill? It's not the flu game. What do we call it?
I don't know. It's not the Chipotle Rhea game either. I actually just directly asked him after the game, was it Chipotle? And he said he laughed. I feel like Tannehill probably has like a chef, right?
I would say probably
so. The Tannehills have like a chef.
You make some of that quarterback money?
Healthful food. Right, yeah. Right. He's got a good bargain for the team, but it's still 30 mil.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he was obviously sick. He missed Friday. I thought he was good yesterday, other than the one pick that gets wiped off the board. Got to get that out of your game. But he's 19 for 27, 213, and a touchdown, and four drops. And another touchdown that he threw to Jeremy McNichols that was dropped. So I think he was pretty good yesterday. Again, protection issues kind of especially started to show up once Taylor Lewan had to go out and came back in, Kendall Lamb. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff around Tannehill that's not going as planned, not going especially well. I thought he was pretty good. His numbers this year suggest a massive drop-off from the last 2 years. I don't think it's been a massive drop-off. I think it's been a drop-off. I also think that you can make some excuses for some of it. You can't make excuses for all the picks he's thrown and tried to throw, though.
Vincent and Dixon texting in. If Joe is the funny one, does that make, by default, Rob the muscle of this outfit? Would you call me the muscle of this outfit?
I would say so.
Okay.
You're kind of the bouncer.
Am I?
Yeah. I mean,
getting rid of people.
Like if we got into a brawl with another show.
Yeah.
You know, like the three of us. I'd stand behind you.
Yeah, guys, I got the pepper spray on my car keys, so.
We're already getting deep in this.
So we're already good.
I'd stand behind both of you.
There you go. Ron texting in, poor Joe gets beat up at work all by himself, breaking chairs and now hitting himself in the nose.
It's incredible.
But the best part is that we don't have videos of either.
Yeah.
Well, it was on Zoom.
It was on the break part.
There'd be no break.
It was on the break, Rex Road.
You're just dodging it, man.
That's a shame. Mm-hmm.
Somebody send Rex Road some bubble wrap to the station. See if we can get that figured out.
Doesn't one of these, though, on one of the platforms that it streams, doesn't that stay on during the break, or am I wrong about that?
I put a little graphic over it, so then it's not just you guys
standing here. Which one is that, Twitch?
No,
they're all on break.
Oh, I thought one of them was different. Okay, so...
So you're in the clear.
Ignore me. That's a shame, though. It'd be some good video.
It would be.
I mean, that one. Did you see it when it happened?
No, I just heard it.
I mean, I cracked my nose open with my stupid headphones.
We'll come back. We'll try to get Rex Road patched up a little bit and continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. We got a big NFL Monday night matchup tonight between the Rams and the Niners, and FanDuel Sportsbook about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Give me the Rams in this game. Give me Matthew Stafford on the over on passing yards as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America, and you get paid in as little as 2 hours. when you win. So just sign up with promo code ROB this week before the Rams take on the Niners, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. It was a tough one for Joe Rexroad a couple minutes ago. Personal injury.
See, I don't even like my jokes like 5 minutes later, you know?
I thought
you make me listen
good.
To my jokes over again.
I'm still laughing over here. Good.
I got a texter on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will Joe Rexroad be on the Titans injury list this week? Joe, your thoughts?
They can't go to a second page. They've already filled up the first page, yes. So probably not.
Ron says Joe Rexroad. There you go. Porth said Joe Rex knows. I like that one too.
That's pretty good.
Andrew from Dover texting in. Jared rigged Joe's headphones so they would hurt him because Jared's tired of losing on Wednesdays. This coming from Andrew from Dover.
Although he had a rigged victory last Wednesday, so
he did.
Yeah.
See, you're never wrong, right?
Oh boy.
Well,
you and Jared, it doesn't matter who wins, Jared versus Joe, because then the next morning you guys are like, well, I won.
Okay.
Right?
That's true.
I love it.
But who's right?
Touche.
There's an actual winner.
And a loser. Yes, Jared does say a lot of things, but who's right?
That's right.
But who's actually right?
I mean, I actually feel pretty good about that one. Wrong about plenty. But I feel pretty good about saying every week, I won against Jared.
I support that, Joe.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Nashville Predators will honor recently retired goaltender Pekka by hanging his number 35 in the Bridgestone Arena rafters on February 24, 2022. And in honor of this night, the team announced a 35 Pekka plan. This ticket plan allows fans to attend either 3 or 5 games during the 2021-22 season, including the February 24th game against the Dallas Stars, while also seeing a donation made to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. The 35 Pekka plan is the best way to get tickets to this historic event, and all fans in attendance will receive a replica Pekka jersey retirement banner. Visit NashvillePredators.com/Pekka plan to get your pack today. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Will texting in says, y'all were talking earlier about the national narrative on the Titans. I was listening to a national radio show yesterday morning before the local guys came on. Their narrative was the Titans have simply gotten lucky. Literally, that's what they said verbatim. They go on to say they beat the Bills because Allen slipped on the fourth down play and that Stafford played the worst game of the season except for the pick in the end zone. The Rams really won that game. Never heard anything quite so ridiculous in my life. But there you go. You can't make stuff like this up.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm not familiar with the show, or I didn't hear it. Some of that sounds a little bit like the fan who says the announcer hates my team. And maybe they said it. If they said that, that's ridiculous. That's so stupid. They only got lucky. What about all the other plays in the Bills game, or the fact that Jeffrey Simmons blew up that play? What about the fact that Matthew Stafford was on the ground instantly in the Rams game, and that completely affected him?
Just ask Chris Broussard. Blown up that play. Didn't have Taylor Lewan in there for the Bills.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of – I mean, look, here's one thing. We've talked about this. First of all, if you want good discussion of, like, the team that you love, then you will get much better discussion locally from the team that you follow than you will nationally.
Yes. That's
for the most part. I mean, I suppose unless you're, like, a Cowboys fan or, you know, one of these – or a Yankees fan where like, basically that's, like, the local national team for the national media. But for the most part, they don't know – they know a fraction of what people who cover the team on a daily basis know. They watch a fraction of what they watch. So you already have to take it with a grain of salt. I think, like, again, I think that if you're nationally, if you're wondering what this team is going to be moving forward, I mean, I think that's going to be the consensus locally too, because I think it's the correct way to look at it. I don't know if these guys, first of all, I don't think they can absorb many more injuries of significance and keep winning. And I don't love their chances in January if they don't get some key people back.
Yep.
Starting probably with 22. I mean, could they win two home games and cobble and find play great defense and Julio Jones is back full go and they find a way to win two home games against two AFC teams, which there is no great AFC team this year? Yeah, I think that's possible. I think it's possible, but it's not likely unless you have 22 back in some capacity. So that's a different discussion. But as far as diminishing what they've done from here, that's just stupid. They deserve every amount of credit they could get for this winning streak. They've earned it, and they've made tons of big plays, and it hasn't been a series of good fortune.
All we've heard about the last couple of weeks is the Titans being disrespected. Do you buy into the Titans just being disrespected nationally? Like, do you think this is a thing where they've just been totally cast aside?
Well, I think that, look, Stephen A. Smith probably spoke for a lot of people, and I mean, again, I think I wrote it that day too. A lot of people said it, but he said it, you know, basically what he said. Like, they're done. They're, you know,
without. He said their season's over.
Their season's over. Right. I mean, I think when you take out Derrick Henry was the portal to national respect for the Titans. You know, he was the guy everybody talked about, MVP candidate, incredible player who nationally got tons of attention. You take him out, what do you expect people to think of this team? Yeah, I mean, like, I understand it. Like, he's their MVP. You take him out. So why wouldn't people doubt this team? I didn't think they'd go out in L.A. and win that game. I thought they might get run in that game. You know, they just keep answering it. But it's hard. Like, you have to understand why people would look at the Titans in the current state of the roster and have questions and doubt them.
Yeah, and look, at some point, like, you're going to need – a Julio Jones to come back in and be a factor. Like, we talked about the AFC being wide open right now, and it is. And I still think, based on the Titans' schedule, they've given themselves a pretty good chance to capture that one seed. I mean, it's not wrapped up, and certainly, I mean, staring down the barrel of the Patriots and the Steelers right now, particularly the Patriots, with the way they've looked the last couple of weeks, that's going to be a challenging game going on the road. So it's not wrapped up by any stretch of the imagination. But they're in a pretty good spot right now. I think to what Darren McFarland talked about a little bit earlier in the hour, the playoffs, you feel good about them getting there. What sort of a threat can they be when they get there? That, to me, is the question. And really the answer to that is reliant upon what does Derrick Henry's recovery process look like. Can you get Julio Jones at any point on the field consistently and keep him there to where he can be a factor? If the answers to those two things are no, and you're not going to get anything out of those two, like, I just, the limit to me, it's hard to envision this team making a deep run without those two. It just is. And I now agree, you throw in Bud Dupree into the equation as well. Like, what is his injury situation going to look like? And you're talking about a guy you're paying $16 million to come in and be a difference maker for you. And I know he's not been that much of a difference maker so far this year, but you're telling me they're not a better team with Bud Dupree out there in that front four? They are.
Oh, no question. I mean, the Kansas City game, you know, he was a big part of that domination. And by the way, a domination of a team that looked more like itself last night. So, right, take him out. If he's out long term, at some point, like, you, at some point, you really do run up against the wall of, it's been great to see all these guys chip in. I think that the intangibles for this team are elite.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question. They got a confidence late in games. I think it's a good locker room and all those things. They like they get along well. They anything that you'd want in a team intangibly is there. Good coaching. It's all working together this year. But at some point, like, it's still about players and plays, and if you lose enough players, there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't know why it's been such a crazy year of injuries for this team, but it has been. And if Dupree now gets added to that mix, I mean, you're stretched thin there, and you've taken away what I think has become the best part of the team here in the end part of this run, and you've reduced it pretty significantly with him out.
Well, and, you know, the hard part, especially offensively with this group, is, you know, I don't know that we're going to find out exactly what the team is offensively over the next little stretcher. I mean, you've got that front that you just played with the Rams and the Saints. You've not been able to run the ball hardly at all the last couple of games. And you're about to go up against the Houston Texans, which, again, I don't want to get into a New York Jets-style week discussion with the Texans, but, man, they've been atrocious this year. You ought to be able to move the ball against the Texans. Like, it's just going to be interesting to figure out exactly what this team is if they don't get some of these key names back as they head down the rest of the regular season here.
Right.
Like, if you told me
they go from one extreme to the other.
Right. Like, if you told me right now that the Titans put up 43 points on Sunday and they ran the ball for 140 yards against the Texans, I'd be like, oh, yeah, probably. Okay. I could see that happening. Whereas if you told me that last week, I'd have been shocked.
Yeah. I mean, right. It's, but the more than likely you get into, you know, January football, you're probably going to play most of the teams in the AFC who are vying for spots are pretty good defensively, you know. And so you're going to have to figure something out with the run game. But this is definitely potentially a confidence week, you know, for the run game. Where are the Texans, by the way? They are next to last, giving up 137 yards a game. By the way, last place in a team that could be one of the teams you play, the Chargers, giving up 155. And, boy, they did not look good defensively against the Vikings yesterday.
They did not.
So that'd be okay compared to some of these other teams. You look at the top rush Ds, Saints number one. You know, Rams are right there, right with the Titans, by the way, in top 10. But you got the Ravens up there. You got the Bills up there. You got the Browns. That's 3, 4, and 5. There's three teams you could face. Bengals top 10. You know, they're in there as well. The Colts are up there still. So, I mean, you know, you're going to have to figure out running the football without Derrick Henry until and unless you get him back to some extent. Better than this. Maybe this is a week where you have a confidence week.
Maybe so.
So, again, some New York Jets talk all week long on Robbie and Rex Road.
We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are also streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Joe had a caller call in during the break asking about, what about Jarrell Casey? Bud Dupree's out. Just go get Jarrell Casey. He's here. Apparently was in the stands yesterday, so there you go.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, the tight end production has not been there. Delanie Walker. The outside nine. Well, you could also actually. What about Arakpo?
Is he still around?
He's retired, but I mean, you get him out of retirement.
Well, I know he's retired. Is he still around here?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of possible answers here. You know, I mean,
you think they'll go with three active outside linebackers if. If Dupree's out. They did that a lot last year. Just rolling with three, baby.
Well, haven't they been doing that mostly this year? Or am I wrong?
With three guys? That? I'd have to go back and look.
They've had four some weeks, but yeah. I think they've had – I mean, what did they have this last week? They had three.
I think it was three. Yeah.
They had a Danny. They had Landry and Dupree, and then two of those three get hurt. I mean, Danny came back. But
comes Landry playing every snap again.
Yeah. He actually took some snaps off the other day, yesterday, and I was stunned to see it.
Hope you enjoyed it.
And I mean, when I say took some snaps off, I mean like he was on the sideline, like which you hardly ever see.
He only played in 85% of the snaps yesterday.
Low.
That's a really low number for him.
Low for Harold.
He played in 100% of the snaps against Indy, 90 against the Rams, 85 against the Saints. His low this year is 71% against Kansas City.
Which was because
they were killing
the quarter.
Chiefs.
They were able to rest people. Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I will say, I mean, I think Derek Roberson totally makes sense as like the latest, player who hasn't done anything this year who all of a sudden could have a key role moving forward, depending on when he can come back.
Harold Landry, he gets a sack yesterday, 10 sacks. So the 15, it's still on the table, Rex Road. It's still, he only needs five more in the last seven games.
Is he 10 or 10 and a half? I think he's at 10 and a half, right?
Pro Football Reference says 10.
Okay. Huh, okay.
I'm just going by what they say.
That's weird. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely at double figures. And, yeah, that's within range. Now, you lose Dupree, makes it a little tougher on him. But you still have Autry and Simmons causing trouble for teams. And Landry just making plays. So that was the – was 15 your shot? Was that what that was?
I said 17.
You said 17, right.
But nobody else thinks he's going to get over 15.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you think of the competition coming up here with some of these teams.
Yeah.
He's going to have a chance.
Well, also, and then you throw Jeffrey Simmons into the mix. I mean, it's pretty incredible that he's doing – I mean, he's going to end up probably with double-digit sacks this year as a interior defensive lineman. It's pretty nuts.
Right. I mean, that's Aaron Donald kind of stuff. And I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald. Nobody is Aaron Donald. But –
he's played like it the last couple weeks.
I mean, you know, think about early in the season and then before the season, early in the season, whatever GM anonymously said, like basically he's the closest thing to Aaron Donald. And I was like, is he? Maybe he is. He's been tremendous.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the last 2 weeks. To Corey Curtis's point earlier in the show, he has five sacks the last 2 weeks. You look at his career. Before the last 2 weeks, I mean, before this season started, if I could find these numbers on Pro Football Reference, I think he had like 5.5 sacks total.
Right.
So he was a half a sack away the last couple of weeks from matching his career total the previous 2 years.
Yeah. So he's on a heater right now, too, when it comes to finishing those plays. So, I mean, look, he could play well the rest of the way and not get there. You know?
Sure.
I mean, it's not always a stat position, but for him to actually finish those plays, some of those reps have been, a little bit Aaron Donald-ish.
It's almost like Kendall Lamb's across from him. He's just picking him up and throwing him into the quarterback.
That's right. Oh, I got Jeff on Twitter, by the way, at PD2856. Did you see the damn DAM? D-tackle go by Lawan twice and sack Tannehill. There's no punctuation. I don't see a difference. I see Lawan, L-A-W-A-N, make $14 million a year as back up my $600,000. The O-line play pretty well without him last year. Jeff, if you're going to take the time to tweet at me, like, try punctuation, spelling a word right, making sense, spelling a name right. But, hey.
Rex Rant, version 2.
Well, hey, you know what? Some people are out on Lawan, and that's fine. But you do not want this team to play without Taylor Lawan moving forward.
Steven, texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, you need to stay away from sharp objects today. There's some advice coming in from Steven.
I mean, these are like headphones.
Cushioned headphones.
Somehow I've cut my nose open with just rounded plastic headphones. I don't even know how that happens, really.
But you know what? You gutted it out. You've gotten through the show, and we appreciate your dedication and intensity that you bring to the table on a daily basis.
Thank you. Dedication, intensity, and per Michelle, never admitting I'm wrong.
That is correct.
Daily affirmation.
You really did make me laugh really hard for a while.
Wow. Just doubling down on the laughing.
No, I didn't even mean it like that. Like, because you're fine. That's the only reason I'm laughing, because you're fine.
You're laughable is what you're saying.
Right? No, but you are fine.
That's right.
So that's why I'm laughing.
Oh, that does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.